888-988-3325.
Wake up, America. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney hanging out with you here on America Tonight. Wake up in the sense that we are really getting screwed by the folks in Washington. Some of them have already left. Others are hanging around to see what's going to happen with the payroll extension and how we're going to pay for this thing. But that's only part of what we're going to talk about here in this hour of America Tonight. We're going to do our yearly re-rack, because we've introduced you to some interesting people, I think, in 2011, and some of those stories have changed a bit. We're going to talk about what happened, oh, this was now months ago, when the story broke about the Saudi ambassador in Washington, the attempted assassination. Was it real or was it trumped up? A lot of people were questioning some of the details on that because they were kind of fuzzy. However, the Justice Department and the FBI did a joint news conference together and talked about how serious it really, really was. So we're going to take you back to that moment as we have a conversation to share with you that we had in October, early October, with Mark Dubowitz, and he had some interesting thoughts on that. Also, did anybody nail the score? Another week in the NFL, time is winding down. The Patriots in Denver, here's a hint. Tim Tebow did not save the day this time around. It was all about Tom Brady and New England, so you're automatically out if you picked Denver. But did anyone who picked the Patriots pick the right number? Ooh, stay tuned. You'll find out at the very tail end of this hour. We don't have a clue as to what's going to happen in 2012 at this point for the Republicans anyway, because, yeah, some of the polls are different as to who's on top. It seems to be a battle between Mitt Romney and Newt Gingrich, if you believe all the polls. However, in some polls in Iowa, Ron Paul is coming out on top. Does this mean Ron Paul has a great chance to win the Iowa caucus? The Iowa caucus is a litmus test, and it's important because it's the first one out of the gate on January 3rd. Then you swing into the New Hampshire primary the following week. What if Ron Paul were to beat the establishment guy, the one with the money and the big PACs behind him, where he's gotten four checks for over $1 million, Mitt Romney, or to knock off the suddenly popular Newt Gingrich, who has cleared the decks in a lot of polls, but has some definite enemies from days gone by, and now is saying some things that aren't making him very popular. We're going to tell you about that in just a second. He talks about the judges and forcing them to justify rulings. But here, Newt Gingrich talks about beating Obama, feeling like he can beat Obama, and comparisons to patterning himself after Ronald Reagan. Also, Mitt Romney says that he doesn't favor the wealthy, and he favors, in fact, the middle class. And a lot of the conversation, of course, is about the economy and what's happening in the future, and also piggybacking off of the payroll tax cut, the extension of that, or to not extend it. Take a listen.
The campaign run on growth, on jobs, on American energy, on a smaller federal government, on a balanced budget, will appeal to about 75 or 80% of the country. The choice between the best food stamp president in modern times, than Obama, and a paycheck president who wants the economy to grow again, I think will attract most independents and will attract moderate Democrats.
The people that have been hurt in the Obama economy are not the wealthy. The wealthy are doing just fine. The people that have been hurt are people in the middle class. And so I focus those precious dollars that we have, I focus that on the middle class. My intent in running for president is to help middle-income Americans. And a plan that dramatically cuts taxes for the very, very wealthiest is, in my opinion, not the right course.
Wow, interesting. So much rhetoric and so little time as we get closer and closer to the things that count. Because it's the primaries, it's adding it all up, and it's getting the people behind you that count if you're staying as part of the two-party system, which there's a lot of conversation about possible third parties, other ways to maybe skin a cat, if you will, to try to get to the White House. All right, I mentioned Gingrich, and what's interesting, Gingrich drew a lot of nasty headlines and actually some positive raves from a few people. Gingrich just goes after the judicial folks like nobody's business. He's saying if he were president, he would consider really just dispatching marshals to force judges to appear before Congress to explain when they have controversial decisions, when they make controversial decisions. He was part of the Sunday parade on Face the Nation, and he was talking about this to Bob Schieffer, and he said, as a former House Speaker, you know, he's knows what he's talking about is he's kind of stepping up the momentum on the judicial types. He said he's disturbed about, and this is his words, steady encroachment of secularism through the courts to redefine America as a non-religious country, and the encroachment of the courts on the president's commander-in-chief powers, which is enormously dangerous. If you remember, Gingrich last year helped fund an effort to oust three Iowa judges who upheld a law that allowed gay marriage in that state. So does this pay off for him in the caucus or not? Or does it hurt him? As I said, there are people that think it's crazy talk and other people who think bravo for Newt Gingrich. The even money says that Newt Gingrich will be in trouble anyway with any of the establishment people because he, like a lot of other people who want to be president, are going to try to play both sides to the middle. And unfortunately, I don't think this time that's going to work. People, I think, and this audience is smart, I think you make up your mind, you know what your values are, you know which way you think we should be headed, and that's the name of the game. And the person who comes the closest, because I don't think anyone running is 100% going to be your person, 100% you're going to agree with everything that they say. I think people are looking for a leader who just tells you exactly what they believe is the right course and how they're pursuing it, and that's it, and let the chips fall where they may. However, with the two-party system and the way it's gotten so gunked up in the political logjam, it's very tough to maintain that and to get elected, and that's what's happened. That's the biggest problem. It's the big money. It's the PACs. It's having to chase those dollars and get those big checks, because how could you not have special interests tied to you if you're doing that? The current president, who says he's about the middle class, has fundraisers put on by Goldman Sachs, big-time fundraisers where people are paying over $35,000 a plate. So what is that about? He can't proclaim that he is a president of just the people when he is also in the same game of courting that kind of money. There has to be some sway there if those are the people, and Goldman Sachs was his biggest contributor. There has to be some sway. It has to be. Hang with us.
Discover a natural way to experience cleaner, healthier indoor air without expensive filters and high-priced machines. Discover what healthcare professionals have known for decades. Salt ionizes and purifies indoor air. That's why you need to visit SilverSkyImports.com. SilverSkyImports.com offers a wide assortment of Himalayan crystal salt lamps, handcrafted from salt crystals that are millions of years old, contain healthy ions that eliminate odor, reduce bacteria, and can even help allergy and asthma sufferers, which means you and your family will breathe better, sleep sounder, and have more energy. These salt lamps are available in stunning, natural colors and shapes to accent any home or office, are environmentally friendly, and best of all, they're affordable. And don't forget, SilverSkyImports.com also carries gourmet and bath salts. Order today at SilverSkyImports.com or call 800-494-1369. That's 800-494-1369. Breathe easier, feel better, live healthier at SilverSkyImports.com.
When making important financial decisions, you should always know the facts. That's why Midas Resources is willing to pay you to read the facts. Midas Resources, a team of hand-picked financial specialists with decades of financial experience who are ready to provide you with state-of-the-art, up-to-date financial services. Midas Resources offers a host of services and stands behind their products. In fact, if you call and order their free Midas report, Midas Resources will pay you. This detailed report will provide you with financial history on the safest and most profitable areas to invest in. If you read the report, Midas Resources will send you a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar. So what are you waiting for? Get the facts and call Midas Resources toll free at 888-292-2709. That's 888-292-2709. And remember, if you read the Midas report, you'll receive a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar.
Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Whoa, you know, you know, you know, you know, you must have been a beautiful baby. You must have been a beautiful child. When you were only starting to go to kindergarten, I bet you drove those other childs wild. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, when it came to winning Blue River. Well, I bet you taught the other kids how. The judge's eyes as they handed you the prize. I bet you took the cutest bow. Yeah, you must have been a beautiful baby. Cause baby, won't you look at you now?
Yes, we're coming up to the end of another year, and that means we take a look back at the good, the bad, and the ugly. Also, because it is the holidays, why not a little lump of coal or two handed out to a few people that we think should get it? I have a feeling a lot of those lumps of coal will be directed at political people, but it's not just people in politics, it's elsewhere that we could also shove some of that coal, and we will do that. Also, we'll look back at some of the people we lost, like Steve Jobs, Jack LaLanne. Remember Jack LaLanne? Lived till 96 years old. I actually used to live down the street from Jack LaLanne. I lived in Morro Bay, California. I had no idea he lived there. He lived, I want to say he lived three streets over from me. And one day I was somewhere and he was in the store. And it was Jack LaLanne. You see his face. Still would pop up occasionally on TV and interviews or whatever. And there he was. And he had muscles and he looked pretty young. He had to have been in his 80s then. Like I said, he died 96 years old. Wow. Jane Russell, another person that we lost from the Hollywood set anyway. Andy Rooney, guy who finally retires, then 2 or 3 weeks later he dies. He was 92 years old. It was a sad year for a lot of people who had impacts on people's lives passing away, and including an actor that I remember from watching Gunsmoke with my grandfather, James Arness. But we'll get to all of that coming up in our next few shows. North Korean dictator Kim Jong-il is dead. That was big news, of course, because he was a propaganda spin meister. He was a machine. He certainly was on the hit list in the West. He is a tyrant. He has a nuclear arsenal that he'll leave behind to probably his son. The push is on for the son to take over. And typical fashion of North Korea, his death was proclaimed on all the state-run stuff as he was exhausted because he was working so hard mentally and physically, he just expired, which really he had a heart attack on a train. Go figure, working so hard, pushing his agenda. Now one of his offspring will push his agenda. I don't think we're going to see much of a change there. Here's a big thing to keep an eye on, and we will do that on this show, to not drop the ball on things that happen in the year and where they're headed. You know, as is typical with court cases or military cases, a lot of time goes from the announcement and charges of something to where it actually comes to fruition. And what happens to the person who is accused of XYZ? This was a big one. The private, Bradley Manning, who was charged with the intelligence officer, really, who was charged with giving secrets to Julian Assange or WikiLeaks, the soldier who is now in the hot box for real. He is charged with something that could keep him locked up for life. And now what's happening is people are coming forward and are witnesses to what's happened, or what happened, how he got the treasure trove of government data, material, whatever, while he was an analyst in Iraq in 2009 and 2010. Remember, that included Afghanistan war logs and Iraq war logs and a whole bunch of other things, State Department cables that they certainly didn't want out there. You had Captain Casey Fulton, who testified for the prosecution, that Manning had a top-secret security clearance, which allowed him to, of course, look at classified stuff. None of the material posted on WikiLeaks was classified higher than secret, by the way. It's important to kind of make that distinction. Manning, though, is the fall guy. Julian Assange gets all the credit, and Manning gets the axe, is what happens. Because most likely the way it's looking is this 24-year-old with his specs on and his army camouflage fatigues sitting in a courtroom over the weekend doesn't have much of a reaction to what the testimony is. However, he's, like I said, the guy who's going to take the fall for this, and it could be, I mean, there's a couple of different options that will happen to him, including the possibility of life. And, of course, there have been people who have supported Manning and think that this is going too far in the punishing of him and think that the government is like a train off the tracks by pursuing him this way. But he did download documents and put them out there. And if they have him doing that, which they've got material from his aunt's house where he left some stuff behind and whatnot, and did he aid the enemy? How do they decide what the course is? 22 counts. And even with the evidence that's pouring out now, there could be more to come. So he just turned 24, and if he's convicted of everything across the board or a big chunk of it, there's a very good chance, like I said, that he will not be free again, ever. His lawyers are saying that most of the information that was classified by the Pentagon really didn't pose any kind of a risk. But that's one of the things that they're going to have to decide as they pour through all of this as to what, you know, how much do they want to flog him? How much do they want to make an example, I guess, of him is probably a good way to put it. And his appearance in the court in Fort Meade in that courtroom is the first time that he's been in public. This shows you how time, you forget, 19 months, first time in public in 19 months. Wow. long time. A couple of other things to throw at you as we're cruising down this overnight highway. Like I said, I think this is a big story as to who looks at classified documents and their access to it. I think a lot of that, probably some of that procedure, has changed since the Manning incident. Obviously, we don't know what's going to happen with Kim Jong-il. Why is it important? Because we have soldiers that are stationed right there on the border, so to speak, on the parallel, who are looking across at North Korea and helping to defend South Korea should the floodgates pour open. And with a change in regime, even if it's the same family passing the baton, certainly things could change. Then we got this pipeline to deal with, the Keystone Pipeline. We talk about job creation. There are people who say, oh, do we need a pipeline in our backyard? I don't care what they tell us. The Senate on Saturday approving that two-month extension of a payroll tax cut and a $1 trillion bill to fund the government, right? Now is the latest in this standoff, back and forth, blame game nonsense. Republicans are saying forget the Band-Aid, but the Senate voted 89-10 for the short-term solution. And here we go, heading into a presidential year, 2012. Even the president himself says it's inexcusable for Congress not to further extend this middle-class tax cut for the rest of the year. Why? Because he doesn't want to deal with it either. It's a hot potato all the way around. So the Senate has left town. They'll be back January 23rd. What will the House do? The payroll tax cut bill keeps the 4.2% tax rate from jumping to 6.2% for 160 million people on January 1st. But it's only a temporary move. And the House now is saying that, certainly the Speaker of the House is saying that this isn't good enough. You can't continue to kick the can down the road. We're not going to go in this direction. Wow. What a crazy year it's been. Tax and debt and jobless benefits. That's what the whole year has consisted of. The economy, stupid. For the past year, that's what they've been talking about in Washington. How much do they accomplish? Stay with us. Much more to come here on America Tonight.
Introducing a diabetes breakthrough, an easy, natural, organic way to bring relief to diabetics. Introducing MDS Forte, a concentrated super strength extract formulated for those who are looking for relief. What can MDS Forte do for you? MDS Forte reduces glucose levels safely and effectively, reduces cholesterol and triglyceride levels, increases HDL or good cholesterol while reducing LDL or bad cholesterol. MDS Forte reduces A1C, improves eyesight and circulation to the limbs, and helps with weight loss. Is non-toxic, caffeine-free, 100% natural, 100% organic, and comes with a 100% money-back guarantee. Waiting for the side effects disclaimers? With MDS Forte, there are none. Order a 25-day treatment of MDS Forte by calling 213-405-5355, 213-405-5355, or visit bestbloodsupport.com. That's bestbloodsupport.com for MDS Forte, a diabetes breakthrough.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
That's the sound of your door being kicked in by an intruder with a single kick. That's the sound of the same door now protected by the Door Sentinel at MySafeDoor.com. Go to MySafeDoor.com right now and watch the amazing video. At MySafeDoor.com, you'll learn how to turn your home into a fortress with the Door Sentinel. 16 kicks later, and the Door Sentinel is still holding strong. MySafeDoor.com. That's MySafeDoor.com.
We want to know, how do you use WebEx?
I use WebEx anytime I need to meet with clients. With the new WebEx high-quality video, it's like meeting face-to-face.
Connect online and share what's on your computer screen with others. Anytime, anywhere. On their desktop, on their laptop, or mobile device. How do you use WebEx? Go to WebEx.com right now and try WebEx free. WebEx from Cisco. WEBEX.com.
Burglars love easy targets, like a dark house that looks like no one is home. Don't let your home be the next target. Make it look like someone is home watching television with fake TV. Fake TV is a small electronic device that makes the same light as a real television, so from outside it looks like someone is home watching TV. Fake TV plugs in just like a lamp on a timer, but is far more convincing to burglars. Fake TV deters burglars, costs far less than an alarm, comes with AC adapter, and is highly recommended by numerous police departments. Use it anytime you're away from home. To order your fake TV for only $34.95, go to faketv.com or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. Each additional fake TV is only $29.95. So get one for you and give one or more for Christmas. Now through Christmas, get free standard shipping on any quantity fake TV purchase. Call 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to faketv.com. Faketv.com, the burglar deterrent.
Smokers, are you still smoking traditional cigarettes? Are you still smelling up your clothes and car interior, staining your teeth, and getting ashes everywhere? Why? When you could be smoking or vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. With LeCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replacement cartridges, you'll get all the satisfaction of smoking, but no smoking hazards. Choose from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquid flavors at LeCig.com, spelled LeCig.com, or call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker. Warning: e-cigs may contain nicotine, an addictive substance known to the state of California to cause birth defects or cancer. Please be aware of the risks associated with e-cigs prior to use. You must be 18 years or older to purchase.
There's nooks and crannies in between. I mentioned this on a previous show, but did you know that our government has issued 19 executive orders and passed 7 laws sanctioning Iran during the past 30 years? And yet Iran continues to push and pursue for that nuclear program and, in my opinion, absolutely sponsor terrorism. I don't think anyone is going to object to me saying that. And, of course, last week we talked about this, and there was some controversy over this, certainly with the listeners to this show, over the fact that the FBI, Robert Mueller, had a press conference and announced, along with Eric Holder, the Attorney General, that they had broken up a plan by 2 men linked to Iran's security agencies to assassinate the Saudi ambassador in Washington. One of the suspects was arrested last month. The other one is at large and is believed to be in Iran. So we've talked about this a ton. I am pleased to welcome to the show Mark Dubowitz. He's the executive director of the Foundation for Defense of Democracies and head of its Iran Human Rights Project. Mark, thanks for joining us on ATN.
Thanks, Kate, for having me on.
Hey, first, your take on when you first heard about the assassination attempt.
Kate, not a surprise. The Iranians have been at war with us for 30 years. They've killed our men and women all over the world. They've gone after opponents of the regime in Europe and South America. So not a surprise that they've decided to hit us at home.
And you heard me say, and you are very well aware of it, the statistics about all the sanctions we've thrown that country's way and what's happened over the years. And in my opinion, it's not working. What do you think?
Well, Kate, I think you're right. It's certainly not working if our objective is to, one, stop the Iranian nuclear program, two, end their support for terrorism, and three, stop their brutal repression on the Iranian people. I think sanctions themselves are weakening the regime. They're not a silver bullet. They're not going to single-handedly solve the problem, but they may be silver shrapnel. They're wounding the regime, and it's always good to weaken your enemy. but they're certainly not enough to get the job done.
Mark, when the people protested over the elections, remember that? I thought that was a golden opportunity maybe for the U.S. to really step in hard there. And, of course, they didn't other than to say bravo and let the people's will go and all that kind of stuff. But remember what happened? The news media was kicked out. And then there were all kinds of allegations, and, in fact, some of them proven that people had been killed for speaking out and that kind of thing. Do you think that that was a missed opportunity?
Well, I think it's a huge missed opportunity. I think President Obama believes it was a huge missed opportunity. I think the Obama administration deeply regrets not having come out more forcefully in support of the Iranian people in June 2009. And I think the reason for that is that the administration believed they could cut a deal with the regime over the nuclear program and didn't want to do anything that would have undercut the possibility of a deal. I think that many people in the administration now recognize there is no deal to be had with Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, who's the supreme leader of Iran, and that it's time to look at more forceful measures.
Yeah, when you say more forceful measures, and that's, the president did say that, hey, nothing's off the table. What do you think that means in looking at possible options?
Well, it means a comprehensive strategy that goes beyond sanctions. I think first and foremost, it's really supporting the millions of Iranians who want to change this regime. I mean, we have to remember it's not only the United States who wants to see regime change in Iran. It's millions of people who took to the streets, who braved murder and rape and torture to tell the Iranians to go, to tell the dictator that they had to go. I think second, it means having a credible military threat. It doesn't mean starting another war in the Middle East. It does mean letting the Iranians know that they cannot act with impunity. And a credible military threat makes it easier for sanctions to work. It makes it easier to get other countries to comply with the UN sanctions that have been passed. And covert operations, taking out Iranian nuclear scientists, putting faulty equipment in the proliferation supply chain. There are many things that can be done, but the strategy needs to be comprehensive, intense, relentless, and focused.
Yeah, I agree with you. Russia and China, what are the chances of really getting them on board? That's part of the problem.
A very difficult issue. The Chinese, I think, have slowed down their investment in the Iranian energy sector. We've gotten some compliance from Beijing, but the major issue there is the number of Chinese companies that are providing parts and components to the Iranian nuclear program. There are about 20 Chinese companies that are doing brick business with the Iranians, and they're helping them build a bomb. I think we got to let the Chinese know that if they want continued access to the U.S. as the largest consumer market in the world, they have to stop helping the Iranians build a nuclear weapon. And similarly with the Russians, we've seen Russian energy companies started to move out of the Iranian energy sector. But they, too, have helped the Iranians build Bashar, which is a large nuclear facility, and they continue to supply weaponry. So we have to have a come-to-Jesus meeting with both Moscow and Beijing on this.
Yeah, no kidding. And you think of the things that have happened, and of all the things that have been done, the regime, of course, murdering Americans abroad in several different places, including Iraq and Afghanistan, other civilians that have been killed in numerous countries. Of all of the things that this country has pulled off, has been able to get away with, what do you think is the most heinous of all?
Well, it's a real long rap sheet. It's hard to choose. I mean, everything from killing our Marines in 1983 to the 1996 Khobar Towers attack that killed 19 servicemen. I think what's been most heinous has been what's been most overlooked, and that is the extent of cooperation between Iran and al-Qaeda. It's not well known, but in fact, the deputy commander of Hezbollah, which is a Iranian surrogate, Imad Mughniya, worked with al-Qaeda in the 1990s and trained al-Qaeda operatives. And certainly there's evidence from the 9/11 report after 9/11 that was commissioned by the U.S. government that they were, in fact, the Iranians were giving free transit and help and assistance to the 9/11 hijackers. So the links between al-Qaeda and Iran are not well understood, haven't been well developed, and I think that is particularly egregious when you think of what al-Qaeda has represented in terms of the number of Americans killed and the security threat they represented to the United States.
Now, if that were flushed out more, I mean, that's great that you said that, because if that's flushed out more and it starts to resonate with people and they start to realize that really, for people, because you know this, there are people in the United States that are saying, you know, let Iran develop whatever nuclear capabilities they want to develop. Just leave them alone. We don't need to deal with them. Let's just forget it. But I don't think we can afford to forget it. And I think you making the analysis talking about Al-Qaeda and that the people aren't too aware of that, I think if that were flushed out a little more, maybe some people would feel a little bit differently, don't you?
Well, I think that's right. I mean, the notion, that, particularly in this town, that you can contain Iran, that a nuclear-armed Iran can be contained through a combination of sanctions and providing political and military support to our allies and waging sort of a Cold War, is contradicted by the evidence. I mean, Iran, this is not a rational regime. It's a regime that is willing to do what it tried to do allegedly a couple weeks ago, which is kill an ambassador on U.S. soil. And it's a regime that has been reckless. It's been a regime that has confronted the United States for decades. It's a regime that if it had a nuclear weapon and had weapons of mass destruction, the question is how confident are we that this regime would not hand off those weapons to Hezbollah or Hamas or Al-Qaeda or the Taliban or the Shia militia in Iraq? And if indeed some of the skeptics are right that there is no central command and control and that Khamenei is not in charge, by the way, not a position I agree with, then if there are so-called rogue elements within this regime, particularly within the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, what is to stop the Revolutionary Guard Corps from being equally reckless or even more reckless and handing nuclear weapons to some of these terrorist organizations? The regime can't be contained. We have to stop this nuclear program, and time is running out.
Yeah, I agree with you. Hey, human rights abuses in Iran, how rampant are they, in your opinion, and what you've seen and heard and all your analysis?
Well, they're extensive, they're egregious. They, in fact, the United Nations Human Rights Council, which spends most of its time actually bashing Israel and doing very little investigation on true human rights abusers, surprisingly put out a report just today that was leaked to the media. And it is a extensive catalog of Iranian human rights abuses, and it makes for sobering reading. It is horrendous what this regime has done to its own people. The murders, the rapes, the tortures, just the brutal repression. And, you know, if this is a regime that will treat its own people this way, how can we expect this regime, how can we trust this regime to act rationally and humanely if it actually had the ability to wipe out an American city? I mean, this is a regime that has abused its own people for 30 years. This is not a regime that cares about human rights or human dignity.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. You say time's running out. How soon do you think the U.S. has to really react hard and swiftly?
It's hard to say. All the experts who've been weighing in, I mean, the time frame is sort of anywhere between 6 months to 2 to 3 years. The time frame changes, gets pushed back because we've done a somewhat decent job at rolling back the Iranian nuclear program, making it more difficult for them to get key parts and components, using Stuxnet and cyber warfare to take some of their centrifuges out. It is more difficult for the Iranians to build a bomb. Time frame has been pushed further and further back. But best case scenario, we've got a couple of years. Worst case, we've got a few months. And what's even more of concern is not necessarily the Iranians getting a nuclear weapon, but having nuclear capability, what we call breakout capability, the ability to very quickly assemble nuclear weapons if they want to. This is a capability that, for example, Japan has, to have the technical capability, but not necessarily cross that red line in developing a nuclear weapon. And Iran with a breakout capability is as dangerous as an Iran with a nuclear bomb itself.
Right, because they could turn it over quickly is what you're saying.
They could turn it over quickly, and they could go right to the line, not test, not come out overtly and break out, and therefore not incur the wrath of the international community. But they could have the capability that gives them the ability to project power, intimidate their neighbors, and to wage a terrorist proxy war around the world, which is what they've done for decades.
Yeah. Mark Dubowitz, Executive Director of FDD and the head of its Iran Human Rights Project, thanks so much for joining us on the show.
Thanks for having me on, Kate.
Has the United States been discovered in the Bible?
Where does Islam fit in Bible prophecy?
Is the new world order, world government?
These and other crucial end time questions are answered in the new DVD package, Understanding the End Time, from End Time Ministries. Jesus Christ said, "I tell you these things before they come to pass, so that when they do come to pass, you might believe." After you watch this 14-lesson DVD series, Understanding the End Time, you'll know more about Bible prophecy than the average seminary graduate. This DVD package normally sells for $280, but now is only $199. Order Understanding the End Time DVD package at endtime.com today for only $199 or call 1-800-END-TIME. That's 1-800-363-8463. 1-800-363-8463 or endtime.com.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy-free, contains all natural and certified organic ingredients, contains no preservatives or animal products, supports a healthy digestive and immune system, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraganiX.com, Terraganics.com. Or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.
Iodine protection packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include microplant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock. Save you money and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Three backs all in the backfield. And now it's the muddle huddle. Brockle trucking left side. Brockle's got the edge. Richie Brockle takes it home.
You can't stop Richie Brockle.
It's the muddle huddle. Are you serious?
Breeze steps up, avoids the rush by Allen. Throws the football downfield. Caught by Moore. He's going to score. 10-5. Touchdown. In the end zone for the second time this season, or rather this game. 5 touchdown receptions by Saint receivers of Drew Brees' aerials. That one good for 47 yards, and the Saints breaking this thing wide open.
Rivers going end zone, looking for Malcolm Floyd near side. He got it inside in the end zone. Is he in? Yes, sir! Touchdown, San Diego!
Arbor with single setback, play fake to him, and Haney is hit. The ball's intercepted. It's Big Red Bryant. He's going to take it in. Touchdown, Seahawks, as Haney is hit as he throws the ball, and Red Bryant picks it off, his second interception of the season, and Red at 300 plus pounds, high steps it into the end zone.
Stafford throws back in the end zone, Calvin Johnson juggled it, he caught it for a touchdown on route.
High formation, double tight ends on the line, and they hand off to Jackie Battle, crashing off right tackle to the end zone, touchdown, and the Chiefs have finally scored a touchdown.
The Chiefs go to a knee, and that is going to do it in one of the great victories in the regular season in Kansas City Chiefs history. Kyle Orton at quarterback. Heroic plays by Tom Mahali with a Pro Bowl-style performance as well as Derek Johnson. And Kansas City celebrates. They have broken perfection, and Green Bay goes down in a sea of red as Arrowhead Magic strikes again.
Orlovsky takes a knee. And most of the crowd still here. They're going to enjoy it. And for the Titans, it is an incredibly bitter pill to swallow.
Wow. We say this each and every week, but what a wild week in the NFL, and we're still not done yet because, of course, there's a Monday night matchup. But a couple of things worth mentioning here as we do our NFL highlights. How about this? The fact that the Green Bay Packers aren't perfect anymore, and who handed them their loss? You heard the call there, Kyle Orton as the new quarterback, and a shocking 19-14 win, Kansas City beating the Pack. And the Colts, wow, the Colts upset the Titans 27-13. Who would have thunk that? Not me, because I, of course, had both of those games wrong in my weekly poll. That was one of the big things that happened. The Giants flubbed up against the Redskins 23-10. That was a huge win for the Redskins, because they get to play spoiler, so to speak, as the Giants are duking it out with the Cowboys for that lead, or, you know, for the ultimately to take the prize in the NFC East. And now they're a game behind the Dallas Cowboys. The game that all of you care about, of course, is the game of the week. That would be our nail the score game. And that was the Patriots game. The Patriots and Tim Tebow, because that's what it was really billed as. Oh, yeah, he does have a team behind him called the Denver Broncos. And Tim Tebow went down at the hands of New England. We weren't quite sure what was going to happen in the first quarter of this game. Denver led 13-7. New England then turned it around, slapped up 20 points in the second quarter. By the end of the game, 41-23. So Denver's 8-6. New England, 11-3. So they're, of course, are in. Come on, give me a break. Philly upended the Jets, 45-19, you never know. And San Diego really needed it, and they put a hurting on Baltimore, 34-14. There was a couple of other interesting finishes, like Detroit picking up their ninth win. They did it by the hair of their chinny-chin-chins, 28-27. Now for the big score, as I said, I've already mentioned the score, but did anybody nail the score every week? That's what everybody wants to know. Do you think anybody picked 41-23? No, no, and no. There was actually two people that had scores in the 40s, but no one had 41-23. In fact, most of the guesses were nowhere near that. You know, 27-10. Let's see. Pat in New York had Denver 38-28. We had Sky in Texas who had 31-10 New England, but nobody came close. Nobody came close to nailing it. Crazy. Another crazy week, Matt. You're an NFL fan, like we say each and every week. You do the fantasy thing. I do the pick'em thing. You do the fantasy thing. And it's crazy. We got the Monday night game, Pittsburgh and San Francisco. This will be good because you have two teams that are 10-3, and this is at Candlestick Park. But wow, some crazy finishes. The San Diego was kind of a blowout. Baltimore was never in that one, but the Detroit game was a crazy finish. Also, what was the other big one? Oh, I thought the Kansas City win, I mentioned that, was huge, obviously, over Green Bay. For Kansas City, it was huge too. So there's some teams that have a little bit of life left in them. And, of course, Indianapolis doesn't have to go in the record books with no wins.
And right now it's the most stressful time of the year for me because, well, my Vikings are out of it, so that's not stressful at all. But I'm in the middle of a fantasy football playoff meat grinder right now, and I'm down about 20 points. And I've got the San Francisco defense and Antonio Brown, the wide receiver for the Steelers, going tomorrow. So it's a stressful period in my life, and I'm going to make it all about myself. So I need everyone to cheer for Antonio Brown and the San Francisco 49ers defense, which it's kind of hard to do because they're on opposite teams. But if we can get all the Steelers points through Antonio Brown and maybe have the 49ers special teams block a field goal, return a punt, do something. I need help, people. I need help.
Since we're all begging for help, I need help, too, because my picks are killing me at the tail end of this. And then I come to find out that the North Carolinians in this football pool are cheating, as two of them are playing the opposite ends of whatever they're picking, Matt, and so that, therefore, they're trying to stack the wins.
Ah.
I know.
I was like, how do you cheat? They got that DeLorean? They're going ahead in time? Or what's
going
on?
No, you cheat. So think about it. If you were, you have all these weeks, you're playing, what, 17 weeks, and you come out to a pretty good hot start. So now you know you're both there. You're almost at the top. One of you
has.
And so what you do
is. Playing against each other.
Playing against each other. With each other, because then you, the games that you know, some that you think are automatic, you let the other guy pick, so he's going to be on top that week,
so
and you're not.
It's not really cheating as much as it is, it's just kind of collusion and forming a pact. You just needed a buddy to help you out.
I did need
you
a buddy.
You need more friends.
I do. I need to fly to North Carolina.
You're kind of the Ron Paul of your group. You need more people to vote for you.
I am like
Ron
Paul.
You don't have all that Mitt Romney money.
So true. I need a trip to North Carolina to work on these Wolfpack guys.
Exactly. You need to work somebody over. You need to get somebody on your side so you can win.
Exactly. Crazy. Week 15, we're down to the nitty-gritty.
How about the Colts finally winning, too, by the way?
I know, the Colts. And here's the thing. I saw the little commentary by Bob Costas, and he said an interesting thing. He's talking about, why not go for Andrew Luck? Because, you know, Peyton Manning, he's 37 anyway, and why not have him as the backup
guy?
They
have to draft Luck.
They have to.
They absolutely have to.
He should have just said, you have no choice. Are you kidding me? He's the best quarterback you can get. Get him.
I know.
Peyton Manning's done with that neck. How long can he stay in the game?
Yeah, that's the thing. He's older. He's coming back from a massive neck surgery where he didn't even play this whole year. Who knows if he's ever going to come back? And if you have the chance to draft the guy who's been the guy for 3 years, NFL teams have wanted this guy, you've got to take him. You've got to. There's just no way about it. You can't pass up on him. It doesn't matter like who you have as your quarterback. You have to take him.
Yeah, they have to take him. Absolutely. And they'd be stupid not to, and of course they will. I can't imagine that they wouldn't pass on that. That would be insane unless, even if Peyton Manning were younger with the neck injury, it's much, much too risky. So I'm sorry once again that nobody nailed the score, but let's hope that we have a different result next time around. Who would have thought that many points would have been put up? That's the thing. So, really, this time around, last couple of times, people have been close. This time around, nobody was close.
You can't break Tom Brady's arm.
Oh, yes, I can. No more Super Bowls for that pretty boy.
Beckham now knocked halfway to the ice. Cross checks him a couple of times. Well, call something, for God's sake.
That's exactly right.
I mean, he's looking right at it. He hit Havlin twice, and they call absolutely nothing.